Today's program has been brought to you by Whole Foods Market, a dynamic leader in the quality food business, a mission-driven company that aims to set the standards of excellence for food retailers. For more information, visit wholefoodsmarket.com.
I'm Grace Bonney of After the Jump, and you're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Welcome to We Dig Plants on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm Alice Marcus Krieg.
And I'm Carmen DeVito.
And we bring the culture to horticulture. And it's so nice to hear our music again.
Yes, and it's good to have Jack Inslee back. Jack is back.
We missed you.
So we're back. We've had quite a summer.
Wow.
We've been gardening and doing lots of crazy rooftop installations. And we both have really nice tans this year.
Best tan.
I have to say.
We earned them, man.
Yeah, it's been a long, hot summer with a lot of plants and meadows and irrigation. But the best thing about this summer is that Carmen and I won some awards from the Garden Writers Association, and we won 3 silver awards for this podcast.
Woo!
The titles of the awards are Podcast Series Talent, Radio Program Talent, and Overall Radio Program. So thank you to Heritage Radio for giving us this platform. Woohoo!
And thank you to our fans for listening and supporting us all these years. It felt really good to be recognized by our fellow gardening and writing peers.
Right, because it's been 3 years, right? And I remember when we started with Heritage, I ate dinner here at Roberta's, and I saw the little shack that we sit in, the DIY container. And I saw the little garden on top, and I thought, they need a gardening program. So I talked to Carmen, and we sent a letter, and we sent one of Carmen's grapevines and some trowels, and we said, hey, guys, let us talk. And you did, and now we're awarded for it. So
that's right. It felt really good.
It felt great. So we thought we would talk today about the Garden Writers Association, and explain what they do and who they are, and give a little background.
Yeah, and also talk about Pittsburgh.
Yes.
Because...
Well, that's where the conference was.
Yeah. And Alice and I, I had never been to Pittsburgh. Alice had been there a couple of times. And it's a foodie town.
It is.
And we
here's the funny line about Pittsburgh. I was actually in Pittsburgh several years ago because I did an art, a botanical exhibition, and it was at the Hunt Institute. And a friend of mine called us up. My husband and I were there for the show. And he said, Pittsburgh? What the fuck are you doing in Pittsburgh? Sorry for my language, but it's a quote. And I thought, oh, my God, right. What are we doing in Pittsburgh? And, you know, I had an amazing weekend then, and I had an even better time now. And Pittsburgh is a really great place, and it was perfect for the GWA conference.
Yeah. I was pleasantly surprised. I really didn't know what to expect.
It's Steel City.
Yeah.
And it's where food and horticulture really come together. I mean, it's the beginning of the middle eastern portion of the United States. Like, it really bridges a lot of worlds with their steel bridges.
It's the Venice of...
It's the Venice of the middle of America.
Yeah.
Basically.
They have a lot of... And there were so many good things, and we'll talk about that. But I think we have a horticulture.
But first, let's do the horticultural honor roll.
Yes.
Kirk Ryan is our award recipient today. He channels John Bartram. And he has this great website, www.bartramlives.com. So this man, Kirk Ryan, is our award winner. And we probably all know who John Bartram was. He was the great horticulturalist out of Philadelphia in the 1700s. He was a third-generation Pennsylvania Quaker born in nearby Darby County. He was imbibed with a curiosity and a reverence for nature, as well as a passion for scientific inquiry. So Bartram purchased 102 acres from Swedish settlers and systematically began gathering the most varied collection of North American plants in the world. And he was a contemporary of Ben Franklin and Thomas Jefferson, very instrumental, kind of behind the scenes in the Declaration of Independence. Really, really amazing man. Self-taught. He was the quintessential can-do American. He had the spirit that continues to inspire us today. His travels were by boat and horseback and on foot. And his travels took him to New England and as far south as Florida and as far west as Lake Ontario. He collected seeds and plants and established a transatlantic hub of plant exploration through his exchanges with London merchants Peter Collinson.
Yeah, and he was crazy.
He was crazy.
You know, he was. He did outrageous things for plants and for and we are the beneficiary. I want to say I was Kirk Brown.
Kirk Ryan Brown
is, right. Is our impersonator, but costumed interpreter, right?
living historian.
Yes, living. He also interprets Olmsted.
Frederick Law Olmsted.
Yeah,
right.
He's come to Brooklyn and done that as well. And he stays in character.
Oh, yeah.
When you see him in that costume, in that 18th century costume, he is in character.
Well, that was what was so great was he was there in costume the first day of the conference that we were at. So Carmen and I go, you know, we don't really know quite what to expect.
Yeah.
I mean, we know that we're going to meet a lot of people that we've been following on social media, and we've been reading their books and, you know, reading their writings about gardening and agriculture and horticulture. And, you know, we've had several of them on our radio show. Yeah. So we knew that we were in good company. But then to be face to face with John Bartram, you know, it was just magical.
He was great. And he kept us moving. He had this bell, the schoolhouse bell that he would ring between meetings. And, you know, that would we were like cows. He would gather us up, you know, ringing the bell because we would get distracted and have like little side conversations and everything.
Right.
So he would do that and keep us like on point.
Right. You know? So Kirk is the treasurer of the Garden Writers Association. He's a recipient of the Pennsylvania Nursery and Landscape Association Green Achiever Award for advancing horticulture throughout Pennsylvania and the Eastern Seaboard. He served as business manager for a garden design company called Joanne Kostecki Garden Design Company in Allentown. He's written a book called Landscape Contractor, which is distributed to high school guidance programs throughout the United States and Canada. So he's really, like, really passionate about plants and getting people excited about the industry.
Communicating.
And communicating. So he's a natural historian and horticulturalist and just all over great guy. He's actually going to be on our show in a couple of months to talk.
So you can talk to Kurt and or John Bartram vicariously.
And or Frederick Law Olmsted.
Yeah. We'll see what hat he wears.
Yeah, so he's our horticulturally.
And we'll post some photos of him after the show so you can see him in costume. He wears it well, let's put it that way.
Yeah.
He's got the right look.
Right. So he was kind of the guide throughout this conference, right? So let's talk a bit. Carmen, do you want to give a little bit of history of the GWA?
Sure. The Garden Writers Association is a nonprofit association that provides leadership and opportunities for education, recognition, career development, and a forum for diverse interactions for professionals in the field of gardening communication. In other words, it's an opportunity for people to do karaoke
and sing some Creedence Clearwater acoustic music.
They're a great, you know, I mean, that's like the serious part, but they're such a fun group of people. That's what Alice and I discovered when we were there. They are creative garden communication communication professionals, including freelance writers, book authors, syndicated columnists, editors, photographers, lecturers, and television and radio personalities.
Right. So mostly, if you've read any gardening article ever in your life, that author is probably, or that photographer is probably in this organization.
And they started in the 1960s.
Yes.
So it's more than 50 years. And what was so interesting about this particular conference, too, was that they are also realizing it. They have to bring new media in. So while they're called the garden writers, it's not just writers.
No.
You know? It's every kind of profession associated with communicating. There were bloggers there. There were people that did YouTube videos and just have YouTube channels about gardening. All kinds of people.
Mm-hmm. Because radio, television, photography.
And they're actively wanting to bring new people into the organization.
Right.
You know, so if you're a blogger, if you're a writer, if you're in any kind of new media, this is a great group to join. They made us feel incredibly welcome.
Well, that was the whole thing. So we go to this conference and we're a little like, okay, what's this going to be like? You know, all these people are like smiling. They're wearing their Crocs. They've got their linen pants on. Like everybody's super, super nice, super friendly.
They're Which made us New Yorkers super suspicious.
They're from all over the United States. Yeah. Talk about zone envy.
Yeah.
Right? Like people are talking about their gardens in the Northeast, in the Southeast, in the middle of the country, you know, Rocky Mountains, like, you know, Phoenix. Like, it was people from all over the United States.
Not a lot from New York, though. Not a ton.
Just because they love gardening.
Yeah.
So this was this total nerdy conference.
Yeah.
And we went first. The very first thing we did was we went to our regional meeting, which Carmen and I are in the Northeast region. So it was New Yorkers, people from Connecticut, Vermont, Massachusetts, and Maine, and all talking about the art of writing and communicating about their gardens.
So, and they're so giving.
Yeah.
It didn't feel competitive. You know what I mean? Sometimes you go to Allison and I have gone to tons of trade shows.
You go to academic conferences and it's like, well, where have you published? And this is like everybody's published. So they're all generous.
Yeah, incredibly so. Incredibly. And a special shout out to Ellen Zakos, who's our Region 1
coordinator.
Yeah. She really welcomed us into the fold, introduced us to everybody.
And we had not met her except for at this conference. And she's right up the road at New York Botanic Garden.
Yeah. So it was really nice to, you know, to connect with all these people and to learn new strategies for communicating better and for reaching more people.
Right. Right. So we were told at that meeting, one of the best things was one of our colleagues at that meeting said, this is the best money you've ever spent for a professional organization. And, you know, I couldn't agree more. It was, you know, it was expensive, the conference fee, you know, all the like tours. It was
amazing. I mean,
there was food.
There was dinner
drinks
almost every night. And they had, for newbies like us, they had a special night just for us to sort of welcome us into
I mean, there were
first time.
There was probably 100 or 150 new people.
First time people.
Yeah.
And then the city of Pittsburgh had so many great events where we were constantly
immersed in gardening and
tours. And it was just like we visited the zoo and got like a primer on zoo horticulture. I mean, they really opened up their city to us.
The parks department. We met a woman that's in charge of the greenhouses for the city of Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
She was amazing. Everybody was amazing. There was another woman that we met. She's going to be on our show. She's just written a book for Timber Press on insects as beneficial, you know, beneficial insects. And she was telling us about all these parks to go to and the market. And it was just lovely. We went to an event called Night of the Round Tables, which was an opportunity to sit and quickly speak with these different table topics. It was kind of like speed dating, but it was all about garden communication. So it was how to find a sponsor, how to cross discipline, how to find an agent, how to find a publisher. So it was really just a really great networking event and learning from your colleagues about how to better advance what we all do.
Yeah, and one of my favorite events, one of my favorite presentations, lectures, was the the lecture about the myth of the hero, right? So that was surprising.
Right. So we went to this very specific writing event that was kind of like on the art of garden writing and garden stories. So how do you do that? So here we are. Like, it was, in a way, it was kind of being back in college and like
writing seminar,
but it was like literature 101. Like, how do you, or not composition 101, like, how do you start your story? How do you make it interesting? And this amazing woman talked about the hero story and the arc of the hero and
how to make your interview, how to use that in an interview, for example, or how to use that in a piece in a magazine, you know, or in the newspaper. It was really a really nice take. It was kind of like energizing, recharging your batteries mentally, you know?
Right. And just like, what is it that we do other than gardening? How do we talk about that?
Yes.
It was really great. And then there were also so many events on social networking and blogging and YouTube, you know, how to set up a YouTube channel and how to get, you know, how to get your message across with Twitter and Instagram and, you know, how does gardening not seem so stodgy and boring?
And engaging the new generation of gardeners.
Exactly.
They very much recognize that, you know, the millennials and X generation, they just communicate completely differently.
Right.
You know?
So it's merging these people with the history, the people that wrote for Garden Design Magazine, the people that write for HGTV, like, you know, those kind of like corporate, huge corporate industries that like get gardening, you know, like that your grandparents read, you know, and then like then there was like the whole academic ag component of like the kids from the guys from the ag school and how they promote fertilizer information and plant propagation information and how do you do that into a manner that's accessible for the layman, you know?
Yeah. And more the writing, because more and more of the interest is about food, growing your own food. It's just something that is not just a trend. It's not going to go away. I think it's only going to expand.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. So this whole conference was about the art of communicating that.
Yeah.
And they awarded us for doing something that we just love to do. And there is such a huge network of people that are interested in it.
I believe they called us a breath of fresh air.
A breath of fresh air.
Which was really nice.
On that note, we'll take a break.
Yes.
And we'll be back. You're listening to We Dig Plants on the Heritage Radio Network.
Today's program has been brought to you by Whole Foods Market. Seeing a need to help people sort through all the misinformation about healthy eating, Whole Foods Market added a seventh core value: to promote the health of our stakeholders through healthy eating education. In our stores, we give you the tools you need for choosing the most nutritious foods and healthy recipes, as well as offering classes with nutritionists and cooking coaches to help inspire good health and well-being. Stop by your local store today and learn more about our Health Starts Here program and wellness clubs, or online at wholefoodsmarket.com/healthstartshere.
I have some people to watch.
Welcome back. We are talking about our awards from
here
the Garden
Plants.
On We Dig Plants from the Garden Writers Association. We got 3 silver awards, and we just came back from a conference that was held in Pittsburgh. And, you know, what the heck does anyone do in Pittsburgh, right? That's the kind of overarching ethos of Pittsburgh. But I have to say, it was beautiful. I loved Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And one of our gardeners was always touting Pittsburgh. And we were all like, yeah, right. What? You know, Pittsburgh. And then she gave us some food recommendations, which were amazing.
Yes.
But 2 things that we didn't really focus on with regard to this conference, but that ended up to be hugely instrumental as to why this conference was so great in Pittsburgh, was Pittsburgh not only is it home to the most number of bridges, 496 bridges.
A huge amount.
It's 3 rivers that converge. So the city is actually kind of a peninsula into these rivers. And, you know, it's the home of steel, right? It's all the steel magnates.
And Del Monte.
And, Heinz.
Yeah.
And you know, it's big, big industrial money, right? Like it's all the trains and, you know, it's the hub of American industry.
Yeah, Westinghouse, right. All that.
So Rachel Carson was born in Pittsburgh, right outside of Pittsburgh. She is the mother of the environmental movement, and she's from a steel city. Yeah. Who better to talk about environment than somebody who watched the land get, like, eroded away.
And the rivers polluted.
And the rivers polluted. And, you know, for those of you who don't know, Rachel Carson, she was a writer. She was actually a marine biologist, and then she wrote the book of all books called Silent Spring in the 1960s, which really brought environmental concerns to the American people. And she was really, spawned the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency.
Yeah. She's the mother of the environmental movement.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. And then there's Andy Warhol.
Yeah. Let's talk about Andy.
Which was amazing because when you think about, he came from very humble beginnings, right? Very blue collar, working class, you know, got a degree or a sponsorship to Carnegie, went through the art school, became an illustrator, came to New York, right at the, like, he did a lot of, he actually worked on a food cart when he was a kid, sold fruits and vegetables, and came to New York, became an illustrator, you know, was
commercial
illustrator, you know, was famous for the repetition of the shoe, right? That was like what made his career. And that whole like quick industrialization world, like he bridged art and technology and just the most creative, generous human. The museum was amazing.
Yeah. If you go to Pittsburgh, you should definitely go cross over the Rachel Carson Bridge.
Right. Or the Andy Warhol Bridge.
Or the Andy Warhol Bridge. And all the bridges are, most of them are completely walkable.
Yeah.
And they're narrow rivers.
Uh-huh.
So it's not like the East River here in New York or the Hudson. They're manageable size and very pedestrian friendly or bike friendly. And you can spend a whole day in the Andy Warhol Museum. Alice and I, like that was like one of the top three things we wanted to do,
right,
is go to see his museum. And it's incredible because you just see, you know, from his humble beginnings, such a great output.
What an enlightened human. You know, he comes from this very like mechanized industrial world to like, you know, Studio 54 in New York City.
And he comes to New York with his mother, by the way. His
mother
lives
with
him.
Yeah, he brought
his mom. Just which is great.
An amazing, generous person who started so many people's careers.
Yeah.
And he shared information, just like the GWA people.
Yeah.
Like
We saw the so niceness. Many parallels, you know, of Andy and then these people that are in this gardening community, you know, and Rachel Carson, you know, sounding the alarm for the environment. It just felt like really good things came out of Pittsburgh on the micro level and on the macro level.
Yeah.
You know,
it was lovely. And the food.
Oh, can we just first of all, Alice and I love to eat. If you guys haven't figured that out yet, you know, it's pretty obvious.
Yeah.
We love to eat. And we're pretty experimental. We'll try anything, you know. So the first thing we did was tell us where to eat,
right?
You know,
right.
We're fine about going to the program dinners and the appetizers, but we wanted to have
real food.
So
the first place we went to, real food, Meat and Potatoes is the name of this restaurant.
Fantastic,
and it was unbelievable. It felt like the best of American cuisine. Was right there in Pittsburgh.
But super down to earth.
Very down to earth. It was, and the thing that was cool about it is I felt like there was a little bit of Southern, there was a little bit of Northern.
A little bit in West.
Yeah. It was all of America converging via those rivers into this one restaurant. And it was horticulture and agriculture. And I mean, they had ramps on the menu. Of course, you know, all these restaurants, they're somewhat similar in their menu.
Yeah.
But this just, it just felt fresh. And because you expect, Pittsburgh, like, what the heck in
pierogies,
Pittsburgh?
Pierogies, you know.
Yeah, or like, you know, Italian hero, like that sort of, but it was so good.
Much more sophisticated. But on the flip side, right, the other side of the coin, Alice and I did not want to pay $25 for some dry toast and scrambled eggs at our hotel. So we're like, we got to find like a diner.
We got to find the local diner.
Yeah. And we were right downtown. So we walked. Who do we ask? We asked somebody.
No, we followed the security
guard. Oh, we followed the security
guard. From our hotel where she was going to get coffee, right?
We went in there and this place, Hanlon's, right? It had no signage or like a ramshackle sign. And
it was straight out of the 30s.
Yeah.
And the decor had not changed since the 30s.
And this guy, Joe, who was a short order cook, he made the most amazing blueberry pancakes. We went every single day and had the same meal for breakfast every single morning. And there was no pretense. They were exactly as just what you see is what you get. He wasn't trying to be hip. He wasn't trying to be down and out. There was no irony. It was just great pancakes, great coffee. And it was like $8.
And it's what you want. It's what you want. You know? It was great. And the rivers and the parkland.
Oh, my God.
The access to nature was incredible in Steel City. There were native plantings. There were fields of blueberry banks.
Yeah.
There were blueberries and
black-eyed Susans. Yeah, because that's Pittsburgh's.
That's the color, right?
Yeah, yellow and black.
Right. So they're just miles along this river walk.
Yeah.
And Carmen, talk about the river because this was the best thing.
Okay. Alice and I would walk down to the river like every night just because we were blown away. Living in New York, you can totally forget that you're connected to water, that you're surrounded by water because the city has put barriers in lots of different ways, not just physical barriers, but economic barriers, you know?
Right.
So, but when in Pittsburgh, so.
It's just traffic. A pain in the ass.
But we were right downtown. And so, as Alice said, it's a peninsula, right? So it's the confluence of the Allegheny River and the Mogollona, which I'm probably pronouncing wrong.
And the Ohio.
And the Ohio. They kind of flow into the Ohio. And there was no place where there was a fence, a retaining wall. You could
literally walk down and put your foot in any of those rivers at any time.
And kayak. And there's
paddleboard.
And paddleboard. So you imagine, okay, New Yorkers, just imagine this. Imagine.
Battery Park City.
Yeah.
Without
barriers. You know? First of all, I was like, are we just dumber in New York? You know? Are we just like more dangerous?
Right.
Is the
liability higher in New York?
We have to be fenced in because we're like too crazy, you know? But they. I mean, of course, if you have a kid, you have to be super careful.
Yeah, I don't think I'd walk my 2.5-year-old down.
But
there.
As an adult, you can you're part of the river. You're part of it. You know, you really feel, you know, connected. Mm-hmm. And when you're on the bridge, we talk about the stadiums, the football stadium and the baseball stadium. You can stand on one of the bridges and hear the baseball game.
Right.
You know, and see into the stands and. I just got a sense of like enormous pride, and I know Pittsburgh went. You know, we're seeing it on its uptick.
Right.
You know,
right.
I know it went through like decades of like enormous poverty, and it wasn't as great as it is now. But we're seeing
a resurgence.
And what was great was that we were downtown, and there wasn't a Starbucks in every corner. There wasn't a chain store in every other corner or a bank. It was real people's real.
Businesses,
an ice cream shop that was run by local people that had amazing ice cream.
Dream Cream.
Yeah. You know, it hasn't been like made too expensive for the average person.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And of course, that's part of the reason why they had the conference there, because it was reasonable and it was welcoming, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So the city itself for Alice and I represented what the conference represented.
Right.
You know?
But the other thing about Pittsburgh is it's home to some serious money and some serious educational opportunities. I mean, Carnegie Mellon is there.
Yeah.
The Phipps Conservatory, which is this 1893 Lord and Burnham steel and glass greenhouse. Now, you talk about plant exploration and viewing opportunities for common man, right?
Yeah.
That's what this was built for.
Yeah, and Carnegie...
Carnegie Mellon,
they shared their wealth. I mean, they were pretty ruthless, but
understood philanthropy.
Yeah, they did.
And the benefits of it. So this was part of the City Beautiful movement, right, at the turn of the century.
Yeah.
It was tropical plants from the Columbian Exposition in Chicago that spawned this whole greenhouse and this botanical garden. And then so just think of standing in this greenhouse It is 65 feet high at its apex. So that is the most, and it's glass and steel at the turn of the century in the, you know, prime Victoriana. Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's comparable to the New York Botanic Gardens.
Right.
But Pittsburgh's a much smaller city.
Right.
You know,
and it's in the middle of like the country.
Yeah.
Kind of,
and yet, you know, they invested.
Right.
You know, they invested in
their people,
their people's
and
education.
Their community.
Yeah.
Right.
Which was great.
And
yeah.
That was the whole thing about Andy Warhol. How did he get his start? He got a grant from the Carnegie Foundation.
Yeah.
To start his career. And he started in illustration and he drew flowers, you know, and he drew his
Campbell
little
soup cans.
Soup cans. Yeah. And he drew sketches of his little vegetable cart, which got him a scholarship into one of the best art schools in the country. Like, yeah. I mean, it starts from humble beginnings and it's all horticulture and agriculture based, which is amazing. And steel. I mean, but now, unfortunately, the biggest industry
there
is not steel anymore. It's not Heinz. It's not Westinghouse. It's fracking.
Yeah.
So what's the future of Pittsburgh going to be? That was what we learned as we took our cab back to the airport, which I actually need to talk about. Oh, wait. So
let's talk about that.
One more ridiculous thing as we close out our show today.
Yeah.
Carmen and I.
We learned something else.
We always seem to. Did you know that you can't bring fertilizer through the security department at the airport? Right? Most people know that. Why don't Carmen and I know that? We were so excited with our freebie bag of all these fertilizers. We pack them up in our little to-go bag. We try and walk
on.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
We try and walk through security. Beep, 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 beep.
We're going to have to get a supervisor here.
Oh, right.
And so then Alice and I are like,
we're
it's okay.
Allowed.
You know what? Just dump it. It's fine. They're like, no. We have to analyze this now. And we have to. And
you're going to miss your flight.
Oh, my God. You know, we always attract the attention. That happened when we went to London. We got stopped by the agriculture department for honey. And this time it was, okay, really ridiculous. I had a tree in the bag.
A Parodia tree.
A Parodia
tree.
Zampini. Which I really wanted to have, a pretty rare tree. And multiple, not one, but multiple bags of fertilizer samples, okay? We just saw our bags on the conveyor belt going back and forth and back and forth. And we're
What's that?
Oh, like,
that?
Oh, God, this. Oh, and then we realized, oh, my God.
It's fertilizer.
You know?
So not only do we drive a white unmarked van through the tunnels in New York City without any trouble.
which we often have fertilizer.
Now we've been stopped by
the
TSA.
But they... In true Pittsburgh, tradition, they were very nice. They actually said that the other people had brought it through and they had already analyzed the bag.
Right.
And they said it was okay. So
we flew home with our fertilizer.
It wasn't
samples.
Enough to be dangerous. So we're good.
We didn't have it stuffed in our underwear.
No. just out there in the open.
So anyway, all in all, it was an amazing event. We met a lot of new friends, which you... then, as our listeners, we'll get to experience because we will have them on our show.
Yeah.
We'll talk about all different topics for this upcoming season. We're going to have a woman named Dee Nash. She wrote a book called The 20 to 30-something Gardeners.
Yeah.
We have a woman named Julie Shapiro. She photographs seeds for Cambridge.
Oh, Harvard. Yeah, that's an incredible project. Wait until you hear her speak.
Helen Yost, Plants with Beneficial Attributes.
Kind of a sexy show.
We're going to have John Bartram, Kirk
Ryan
Brown.
Yes.
We're going to have the Director of Sales and Presentations from Monrovia on. We're going to have a show on Organic Mechanics Soil. It's a soil company. We're going to talk about plant marketing from the Sunset Plants and the American Beauties Plants. These are all plants that you purchase at your local retail centers and how they get their names and how they get their trials and how they come to you as the consumer.
Yeah.
So,
and also the Italian Garden Project. That's an incredible... It's kind of like StoryCorps, but for... in video form
uh-huh.
For keeping Italian gardening traditions alive.
Yeah.
Maria Menidi goes around and videotapes and interviews old school Italian gardeners and, you know, is archiving all of their traditions. And some of them have been put into the Smithsonian archives already. So that's going to be a really interesting show this fall as well.
Yeah. So we've got lots on our plates, and we just would like to thank our listeners again for all of your support. We actually met several of our listeners at the conference, and we just want to thank Heritage Radio again for giving us this platform and for being so awesome and so cool. And
so we'll be back September 15th.
Right.
Monday, September 15th is our first regular season show. Stay tuned and listen.
And we do dig plants.
Thanks for listening.
Happy gardening.
See you in the garden.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.